simple concerning evil. This is a phrase that we find at the end of Romans chapter 16, actually in the last chapter near the end of the whole book of Romans. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes the following. He says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple or innocent concerning evil." Romans 16:19, simple concerning evil. What was Paul communicating here? We're going to delve into it a little bit in this short message. And I want you to remember that phrase, simple concerning evil. As God says, that is his stated will. And concerning this statement, these three words, simple concerning evil, John Wesley wrote the following. He said, "But I would have you not only obedient, but discreet also, discreet, wise with regard to that which is good, as knowing in this as possible, and simple with regard to that which is evil, as ignorant of this as possible." In other words, as ignorant of the evil around us in the world. In fact, I'm reminded of Ephesians 5 verse 12, which says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So again, John Wesley says that the Lord is communicating here concerning the words in the command to be simple concerning evil. He says, not only obedient, but discreet also, wise with regard to that which is good, as knowing in this as possible. As knowing in this as possible, and simple with regard to that which is evil, as ignorant of this as possible. So he's saying that the Lord's communicating here that we're to be ignorant, innocent, unknowing concerning the evil in this world. And Donald Stamps writes the following so poignantly. He says, "God wants believers to be innocent in what is evil. This word means unmixed or pure, innocent like a child whose mind has not yet been exposed to evil or mixed with the values of the world." And he references 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, which says the following. 1 Corinthians 14, 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children." That is, be innocent concerning malice, but in understanding be men. Now, this is a truth I've never heard taught on. Very interesting, these combinations of scriptures concerning being simple concerning evil. And then Donald Stamps, his study Bible is called Life in the Spirit Study Bible. Okay, he says, number one, the biblical principle is in direct opposition to the idea advocated by some that children of Christians should be exposed to sin, immorality, ungodliness, and the things of Satan in order to learn to confront temptation. Boy, how ridiculous is that? You throw your own innocent child to the dogs of hell by putting them in public school, and some are still wondering. They're still in darkness so much and have never repented, apparently, that they wonder why their grown children have turned against God and have turned against them. Even though they at home they tried to bring them up in a Christian way, then they turned them over to Satan through the public school system, because they bowed a knee to the world and to sin, and the sin of covetousness and greed, materialism. And so they gave up their own family in order to go after the goods of the world. They had to have that two-income family, you know, even though it basically cost as much or more to put your wife out there to work, instead of that mother being home with her babies. In fact, those children need their mother. Not later, but now. So American parents have pawned their children off to the world system for the child's destruction. So they've put the women, the mothers, to work when God said the mothers are to be keepers at home. Younger women are to marry, bear children, and be keepers at home. Notice, at home, 1 Timothy 5:14. So we have erred from God's plan, from God's design for the family, for the mother and the father and the children. And make no mistake, this is why America is collapsing, and I don't believe anything's going to stop the judgment of God personally on America. Wherever you see the family unit intact, you know there's a foundation and a future, and God is going to be blessing that nation, like most of the Latin American countries, Asian countries. Those nations are in much better shape than the United States because of the family unit. Again, wherever you see the foundation of the family, you're going to know there's going to be a good future there. Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be removed, what shall the righteous do? Well, let's answer that question. I'm going to do it as a man, not as speaking from the Lord, but I believe what the righteous should do is go to a nation, relocate, where the family unit is honored and not attacked from every angle, as is the case with the United States of America. And so we have erred greatly by taking the woman, the mother, out of the home where she belongs and where no one else on the planet can take her place, where she is to take care of, nurture, and train up her children and her husband's children. And so we have greatly erred in many cases, that is. And I know there are different situations, but many who claim to be Christians worship at the altar of greed and covetousness for the things of this world. So whatever the situation, when you turn your children over to the demonic public school system in America, and it didn't just start yesterday, it's been there for many decades. So that's what we do when we send our kids to public school. Unbelievable. Some suggest that children need not be guarded from ungodliness. However, according to biblical revelation, the philosophy is not only against God's will for the believer, for the disciple of Christ, but also represents Satan's own desire that everyone be exposed to the knowledge of good and evil. All the way back in Genesis 3:5, right? All right, number two, knowledge of evil, along with continual exposure to Satan's wicked ways, will lead many from the path of faith and obedience. And again, you still got people wondering why that child is now a so-called atheist. There's no such thing as an atheist, Romans 1, Psalm 14:1, etc. So being exposed to all of this evil, as some, as he's stating here, believe is good, that's Satan's influence, by the way, because it's, first of all, a violation of the Word of God. And it's an ignorance of the ways of Satan, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Also, he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. The writer continues, Lot, back in Genesis, right? Lot found this out to his own deep sorrow, losing his entire family for this reason. Genesis 13 and Genesis 19. Remember that? He lost his daughters, if you will, to the world. What they did upon escaping, it was only him and his two daughters, Sodom and Gomorrah, and before it was destroyed, we'll tell you all you need to know about what his daughters learned by being exposed to the evils of Satan and of the world, over the which Satan is the present god of this world, a small g god or ruler of this sinful fallen world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And so out of the rebellion, the sin of Lot, came the wicked enemy nations of the Moabites and the Ammonites were produced out of this incestuous perversions perpetrated by Lot's daughters. In Genesis 19, verses 30 through 38, the two daughters of Lot bore children through their father by their own evil actions, I might add, resulting in the creation of the Moabites and Ammonites. The elder daughter's son was named Moab, becoming the ancestor of the Moabites, while the younger daughter, her son was named Ben-Ammi, and he became the ancestor of the Ammonites, both of which became sworn enemy nations of the children of Israel. So lots of evil fruit produced through this sin. The sin of turning your children over to Satan and his systems and not protecting them concerning simple concerning evil, or keeping them innocent concerning evil, as our main text speaks about in Romans chapter 16, verse 19. So instead of protecting his daughters from the perversion and wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, he brought them right into the midst of it, or probably he had them there. And instead of removing them from all of the evil, he kept them there, and they remained living in Sodom, which corrupted his daughters, because there was no separation or holiness unto God, and therefore no sanctification and utter and full access of Satan through the world system and the sinners of the world to pollute and corrupt Lot's daughters. So it's up to us to remain separated, to guard our hearts, keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 and 2. Keep our children protected. Keep them simple concerning evil, or innocent concerning evil. And concerning the daughters of Lot, this sin is rooted in the rebellion of their father, Lot, who brought them to be poisoned, to be indoctrinated, to be imbued in their minds of all of this evil in Sodom and Gomorrah, instead of staying separate out on the plain where he was prospering. He went for the city lights. He sought the greed and the gold of this world, and it resulted in great curses upon himself and his daughters and his wife and his lineage. Scripture warns that evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And that Jesus Christ gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Those who advocate exposing innocent children to an ungodly environment and or influence are in danger of violating Jesus' warning in Matthew 18, verse 6. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 18, verse 6? We know he was talking about children and warning of anyone who would harm a child, and that they would be cast into the deepest sea with a 2,000-pound millstone tied about their neck, to illustrate his great judgment on those who are unrepentant and have misled and poisoned the minds of children. They're going to go to the deepest hell to burn forever in the lake or ocean of fire, from which they shall never escape. Notice Matthew 18:6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, I believe that would refer to children and also any child of God, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now this is a severe warning concerning corrupting the mind of our own child. Unbelievable how parents are offering their children figuratively on the altar of Moloch for the promise of having the riches of this world. And that's exactly why the evil Israelite families in the Old Testament offered, and nothing has changed, they offered their children, their firstborn, I believe it was, on the altar of Molech with the promise of God's blessing, the lie that the gods, false gods, would bless their crops and their income and their financial prosperity. So they gave up their own child on the altar of Molech, murdered. And we see that today in abortion. We also see it here when people forsake God and therefore they put their children in daycare. Are you kidding me? That child is to be in the arms of the mother of that child. Literally and meaning under the care of his mother or her mother all the time in their formative years. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Younger women, Paul said, are to marry, they are to bear children, and be keepers at home all day, every day. But rather, they put their children into public schools so that they can go chase the riches of this world and, quote unquote, give their child a better life and future. Are you kidding me? It's no different than what we see with the Israelites offering their children on the altar of Molech. Amos chapter 5, verse 26, and Acts 7, verse 43. So this is what happens when men and women, they go to church and they supposedly are saved, but they worship at the altar of greed, materialism, and status in the eyes of the fallen men and women of this world. They desire and live for the gold of this world. Based on historical and biblical accounts, child sacrifice, this is exactly what people do when they turn their child over to Satan's public system or daycare. Child sacrifice to Molech was a Canaanite and Phoenician ritual often described as offering children to a deity in a tophet, T-O-P-H-E-T, which is a place of burning that would be on the outstretched arms altar of Molech. Many of you are familiar with the illustrations we see of such, and they still exist today. Scholars interpret this act of offering their children, that is, on the altar of their own greed and literally on the altar of Molech, which is actually Satan. And they do this with the false promise of prosperity and protection from Satan, from some other source other than God. In doing so, they violate the very first commandment, which says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5. And also Exodus 34, 14, where God says that he is a jealous God. In fact, Exodus 34, 14 says, for thou shalt worship or trust in no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So these are the things that idolaters do as a desperate attempt to appease a God, small g, associated with the underworld, or to ensure divine favor in exchange for the ultimate sacrifice. Giving up their own children on the promise that Satan is going to bless them. Unbelievable. Molech is identified by some scholars as an underworld deity or a Phoenician god, basically Satan, right? Linked to the underworld, requiring the ultimate sacrifice to ensure favor and safety and prosperity. Wow. Divine favor, that is. And that's exactly what you see when you see people throwing their children away and allowing them to be corrupted with evil. Boy, is America in big trouble. Big trouble. And it's at the hands, in many cases, of those who pretend to be serving God. Unbelievable. Okay, so Donald Stamps finishes. He says, believers should do all within their means and power to guard their children from being exposed to the deceitfulness and sin or the perversion of this generation. To refuse to protect our children in this respect disregards the Holy Spirit's desire that they be innocent and babes regarding what is evil, unquote. Again, the title of this message is taken straight from Scripture, Romans 16:19. We are to be, quote, simple or innocent concerning evil. And notice in Genesis 13, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says that Lot, the nephew of Abraham, pitched his tent toward Sodom, the world. Sodom representing the world. Notice Abraham, it says, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, you might recall the scene where Abraham discussed with Lot the situation or the solution to the situation where there was strife between Abraham's people and Lot's people out in the plain or the country. And Abraham said, let there be no strife. This is all in Genesis 13. I pray or request thee between me and thee, that is between Abraham and Lot, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Let there be no strife. And then he says, is not the whole land, the vast land before you, is there not so much other space that you guys could be in and be at peace? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And so Lot, verse 10, lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. This is before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Lot looks out over the land and he notices the beautiful lushness thereof. And Lot chose, verse 11, all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they departed themselves the one from the other, that is, the camp of Lot and the camp of his uncle Abraham. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, verse 12, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom, where the men were what? Verse 13, wicked and sinners, before the Lord exceedingly. So Lot chose the city lights where he possibly believed that he could be wealthy, even more wealthy. And it cost him almost everything. Cost him his wife for sure. Even when the angels came to rescue them, his wife turned back and God turned her into a pillar of salt to memorialize the danger, the eternal danger of turning back after being saved or in the process of being saved and then being required to endure to the end to be saved into glory. And the Bible teaches initial and final salvation. So one writer concerning the act of Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom says the following. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot's great failure was that he loved personal gain more than he hated the wickedness of Sodom, as we see in verse 10 through 13 of Genesis 13. If he had loved righteousness sufficiently, it would have caused him to remain separate from the wicked ways of sinful people. Instead, he tolerated evil and chose to live in Sodom, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Perhaps he reasoned that the material advantages, culture, and pleasures of Sodom outweighed the dangers, and that he was strong enough to remain faithful to God. Thus, he exposed himself and his family to great evil and immorality and ungodliness in Sodom, only to learn the bitter lesson that his family was not strong enough to resist its evil influences or the evil influences of the world. He says also, parents must be careful not to place themselves or their children in a Sodom, if you will, or a wicked place, lest they come to spiritual ruin, as did the family of Lot. Wow. Also, although Lot was distressed by the filthy deeds he saw and heard, as we see in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, he still was willing to tolerate the wickedness of Sodom for social and material advantages. This compromise brought tragedy to his family. Likewise, believers today who expose their families to ungodly environments and evil influences for social or material gain are setting themselves up for family tragedies, unquote. And let us be reminded that if we lust for the things of this world, it will cause us to sacrifice God's truth on the altar of our greed and covetousness and cause needless destruction to our families. In fact, Ephesians 5 speaks of, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And what is he speaking about? He's speaking about sin that he names in the previous verses: fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. "Let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or demonstrating what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So one of the things he mentions here is that a covetous man who is an idolater hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's Ephesians 5:5. And so again, the warning of running after the riches, of pursuing the riches of this world, it's going to bring great destruction to those who do such. Two verses come to mind. One of them is Luke 12:15. Jesus says, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life," or his significance, "consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses," that is, on the earth. And that is Luke 12:15. And let us also be reminded that Job 1:21 and 1 Timothy 6 tell us that naked we came into this world, and naked shall we return. One more, Proverbs 23:4-5, "Labor not to be rich." That's an instruction from God right there. Labor not, do not labor to be rich in this world. "Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not?" He's speaking of the temporality of riches in this life. "For riches," he says, "certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." And oh, what a picture that is. Jesus taught us to lay up treasure, but not on earth, in heaven. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew 6:19-21. Notice Jesus said in Mark 4 that those who have no root in themselves do not endure to the end. They only endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, that is, outside of Christ and his kingdom, which we are to seek, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Oh, how many around us have fallen away and are on the broad way that leads to eternal damnation because they pursued the things of this world instead of Christ, our heavenly eternal treasure. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek or pursue, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. The Bible repeatedly commands us to seek and to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to never, ever compromise that first love status of Christ by lusting after anything in this world, by coveting the riches of this world. And 1 John 2:15 says, if any man love this world and the things in it, the love of the Father is not in him. And so we must have a pure heart, saints. That's the only people that are going to see God. Remember that Matthew 5, verse 8. This should be a memory verse. I can't tell you on a personal level how many times in a day that I will be refreshed and meditate upon these words of Christ, which quickens my spirit to the holiness of God and to living out of a pure heart. Notice Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they, that is the pure in heart, shall see God. Only the pure in heart are going to see God. Only. And it's not going to come without a fight daily to fight the good fight of faith and declare, Lord, thank you that I'm going to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are who? The pure in heart. And they are the only ones, for they shall see God. According to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, God will not bless the life of any person who is not seeking Him for a pure heart. So the key to a pure heart, an innocence that God calls us to throughout His Word, including commanding that we be simple or innocent concerning evil, is that the key to this innocent, simple heart is that the Almighty is truly first in our lives. That we are seeking the Lord in His strength and seeking His face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11. And that we are truly one with Him, as Jesus prayed in John 17. Sister Marlene writes the following as we close. She says, Lord, right this moment I release everything and everyone that I might be holding onto tighter than I'm holding onto You. I will have no other God before me, dear Lord. You alone, Jesus, are the Lord and Savior of my life, unquote. Sister Marlene, that'll be our prayer for today right there. I want to encourage you to pray this prayer after our sister, as she says that she releases everything and everyone that she is holding on to tighter than the Lord Jesus, the first love of her life, her Creator and her Redeemer, and declaring prayerfully that she will have no other gods before the Lord. Amen. And the scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. And may God bless each of His saints to be simple concerning evil in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.